Time for Message in the Bottle, presented by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello there, Eric.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
We're quite well, thank you. How are you in this beautiful day?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, especially since I'm about to head out to the ball field after this. It's still afternoon.
Do you have a game or a practice tonight?
We've got a second game in a row. Yesterday on the west side, we had a glorious victory. And tonight we're heading over to the east side, Taylor Field. And I forget who we're playing. It doesn't matter. I didn't realize how seriously the Little League was taken in this town. I'm doing my best to up my game, but in order to facilitate that, I did rewatch/watch for the first time with my son, Bull Durham, this weekend, and we did make him cover his eyes in the first couple minutes. Yes, folks, yes. But aside from that, I'm like, you need to see where Dad gets half of his cliches, and literally see a guy working on his cliches, and it's good, it's great. Folks, I must encourage you all, if you are losing faith in America, and who isn't, coach some sports, coach youth sports. It makes you feel better. It's just everybody out there yelling for all the silly reasons, and no one's arguing about the truly silly things that divide us. I thoroughly encourage it. It's like, it's Americana at its best. So, there we go. Really quickly, before I delve into wine, I too wanted to add my tribute to Gene Beck, good friend, longtime friend, one of my first friends in the industry here, back when he was managing the Hogan Road Deli, and actually, briefly, I employed his quasi stepson, we talked, we looked at things together. And one day he's like, Eric, I'm going to do this thing. And I just couldn't be happier for him. I wrote to him today after the official announcement saying, what's next? And he said, worm drowning. So I said, you invite me along and we'll do that together. So congratulations to Gene. And Darren, actually, speaking of baseball, he is both wife and kids are involved in softball. He is in the league administration that runs the Little League, and I see him all the time. He was my delivery driver for years. He's a great guy, and I think both of them are going to do a great job. So cheers to all of them.
Absolutely.
Great thing for Bangor that, it's always scary, putting on my president of the Downtown Bangor Partnership hat. It's always scary when it's like, somebody's going to, sell out or go out of business or whatever, and it's like, no, we're selling too. Similar to the, like, Fiddlehead next to me, it's like, no, the space will remain active, and not only active, but with tremendous people. So, good news all around. All right. That done. I will fish with Gene and give you updates on the So last week, we sort of were finishing up talking about how the old world ideals of terroir, of the single vineyard, single plots of land being, for lack of a better way of putting it, better than others. This plot of land grows this grape better than others because of this, and this, which is now, we're looking into the new world and not just America. I'm guilty of, as everyone is, not just North America, but also South America, meaning folks like the folks at Catena are doing super, super in-depth soil research on individual plots of land, because the idea of terroir has carried forward. But what started as you should plant this particular varietal in this particular spot has kind of given way to, well, this particular spot is special. Let's try maybe this grape and this grape and maybe a row or two of this grape and see how it does in this, indeed, hemisphere, you know, if you're talking about Mendoza, Argentina. So the idea of the New World single vineyard is a little bit different than the Old World one in that it's sort of taken to the land is special, and that is why we created these what we call AVAs, American Viticultural Areas. We acknowledge, and perhaps this is a testament to our individualism, gung-ho, you know, don't tell me what to do spirit, but we're like, okay, the land is special, but now we're going to decide as the winemaker, as the grape growers, what we like about that and plant what we want, because basically it's a blank slate in a way. So now you're finally seeing, you know, of course we had, and we'll talk more about the blowing up of California as a viticultural area and as also a financial depository, essentially, which recently had a big problem with the collapse of, I forget which bank it was, but the one that basically financed like half the vineyards out there. Ooh. But we'll get to that later. But basically, it's this idea that, you know, you have all these people coming from all the Old World countries with all their own ideals. And yes, we became famous with Cabernet Sauvignon, we became famous with Chardonnay, but now you're starting to see plantings of Sangiovese, which is Tuscany's main grape. You're of course, you know, speaking of Mendoza before, Malbec took place, took hold rather. Tempranillo, right, of course, the grape of Spain, which has an earlier ripening cycle. Well, some people are like, well, cool, my particular plot of land, which is special, is higher in elevation than I would choose to plant maybe Cabernet Sauvignon, but Tempranillo also has a sort of robustness that cab drinkers tend to like, so maybe I'll experiment with that. So it's, again, it's taking the ideals of the Old World and putting our own stamp on it. And again, so this is the idea, and you'll hear the words again, the AVA, the American Viticultural Area. And they haven't taken to, like, ranking vineyards, like Burgundy, their cru system, stuff like that. It's nothing like that. It's just that we name vineyards, and they achieve their status based on usually who chooses to work with them. Very often vineyards are actually not owned by the winemakers or the estates. They're actually independently owned because a lot of vineyards are their investments. Like I was just sort of mentioning, like for instance, he does own this, but I was just doing a little research into Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. He owns Screaming Eagle Vineyard, which is a 1 hectare plot of Cabernet Sauvignon. And the bottles, I mean, anytime you listen to any, you know, major, anybody with a lot of money, they'll talk about Screaming Eagle Cab. Stan Kroenke is not a winemaker. He is a very, very rich man who makes serious investments. So that's sort of where we've gotten in America and in the Americas. Less so in South America, which we'll touch on in about a month. So just so you all get the idea. Old World ideas, but New World in the system really defines the New World single vineyard aesthetic. I'm sure I'm running out of time, and also I've got to run off to Taylor Field. So just a reminder that lots of new stuff is coming into the store literally every day. Come in, ask us about new favorites, old friends, new vintages, etc., and we'll be happy to show them to you.
Excellent.
Otherwise, I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Well, have fun. Good luck tonight. And I especially after Bull Durham, I look forward to those mound visits of yours.
Oh, my goodness. You know, my son can tell you the only thing I tell him all the time, and I shout this out, don't think, just throw. Don't think, just throw. And then he'll start spouting stuff back to me. I'm like, Eric, this is not a quote time. This is you're actually pitching. So. All right. Cheers, folks. I'm off.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.